What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game! An 11-yard touchdown! Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce! And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Chiefs Radio with the call. Bobby Belt is nauseous, and that makes me happy. Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Monday, MLK, and Inauguration Day for you on DFW Sports Station. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Roberto. We got Pepe firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube as the Kansas City Chiefs. They call it the Arrowhead Invitational, and it's happening again as they will host Buffalo after beating the Armpit.
Every year, every dang year, except for last year, this team is hosting this game, and it's... It is one of those things.
Where seven straight conference title appearances. We're talking about the Eagles.
2018.
The Eagles making eight of them since the Cowboys went to their last one with three different head coaches, and the Chiefs just go seven straight years.
Sickening. And before that, the Patriots went like seven straight years, eight straight years. Just in, like the AFC has been. It's been Mahomes, it's been Brady, and a little bit of Ben and a little bit of Manning. Like, that's what it's been for the last 25 years.
The big stat from this one, Bob, the Texans are the only team to outgain their opponent by 100 or more yards, have zero turnovers, and lose the game in any playoffs this century. Previous teams were 28-0.
Kansas City remains really fortunate that they keep winning games where they get outplayed. 4.2 yards per play from Kansas City. And they win this for stupid reasons. And this is irritating, but I'm not going to be really mad yet until they win the Super Bowl. This is like a couple years ago when Philly made the Super Bowl and it was getting really close. And all year I was like, they're not good enough to win. And then we're staring it down against Kansas City. It's like, damn it, this is getting way too close. I feel like that's where we may be heading with Kansas City, that I'm going to be staring down a Super Bowl game in the fourth quarter, and it'll be close, and I'll be like, crap, this needs to turn. But they're not going to win. They can't win. They're not allowed to win because they're not a great football team. They're not. They are like the sixth best team in the NFL this year.
But there are great teams who have won it. That's why we're having an Eli Manning Hall of Fame discussion. That's why we're talking about that Eagle team.
Not this one. This team has been. They've been. I think it's also partially their fault for the expectation they've set of greatness in previous years. Of just, man, they're so impressive. They're so great because they don't win impressively. There's always some bounce that goes their way or something fortunate, or maybe you have like officials in your pocket like they did in this weekend. That's a big one right there.
All right, this game is just seeped in controversy, and the entire football world is convinced that Roger Goodell has sent a memo to make sure the Chiefs advance. Which hit would you like to start with? You want the Will Anderson, or you want the helmet to helmet with three of them, with two Texans players and then Pat? Which one, Bob?
We can do the helmet to helmet.
Okay.
Well, they both were helmet.
No. I'm talking about the three, the collection of the helmet to helmet there, that one.
All right, let's do cut 12, Pepe, and this is Troy Aikman on ESPN losing his mind.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense number 39.
Come on.
15-yard penalty.
Here's the end of it. Yeah, I mean, he's a runner, and I could not disagree with that one more. And he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans.
And, Troy, I agree with you. There's no forcible contact to the head neck area of him. The two Houston players hit each other. That should not have been a foul.
And they've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
So both penalties extending KC drives, leading to a crucial 10 points for the Chiefs.
How much did they win by?
Nine.
Interesting.
So Clay Martin,
yeah,
the official, he does a pool report. And why don't they video this, by the way? They never video these.
I don't know.
He said, so he slid. This on the slide. He slid. Obviously, when he slides, he's considered defenseless. The onus is on the defender. I had forcible contact there to the hairline, to the helmet. So he said to the hairline.
All right. I'm the only host in the country who's going to do this outside of Missouri, probably. And I always do this with referees. And this is not me being slanted because I wanted to beat Bobby in our bet, which I ultimately did because I watched more football.
And not because you're from Kansas City either, right?
I was in Kansas City for 1 year. I've always done this with referees. I can't stand when Troy Aikman, us, and everybody else get to watch a slow-mo replay 15 times and say, you missed it. You screwed up. On that play, three people's helmets were centimeters apart. Two Texans defenders.
Sir, this is America. We use inches. Okay, you keep that imperial metric, whatever.
Aren't centimeters closer than inches?
It doesn't matter. We don't use centimeters.
All right. The three helmets were inches apart, and all the referee heard was
quack.
Smack, smack, smack. Yeah. Play the beginning of the actual play, Peyton. And I think you can even actually hear the crowd groan here.
Mahomes dropped it. Able to get it and take off to his right. And then slide down. They're going to throw a flag
Stop.
On that.
Stop it. That right there proves my entire point.
Because a Chiefs crowd groaned?
Yes.
A pro-Chiefs crowd? It's a look. I'm not.
Do you
I'm
know
not,
why they groaned?
I'm not paying.
No, but do you know why they groaned?
Because they thought Pat got hit.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they think Pat getting like.
So then every referee, they think every getting, person with an onus on protecting the quarterback and the helmet smacking. There's no physical way. This is on the National Football League, and Choppy's been suggesting this. They just have to replay hits to the helmet. They have to make it a replayable thing. That. In looking back, should not have been a flag. It was the two Texans helmets that collided. There's no possible way for a referee to be able to tell that live in the moment. There just isn't. It's not possible.
I don't have a problem with the call.
They have to replay helmet to helmet.
I have a much bigger problem.
They do have to replay helmet to helmet, and they also need to like throw penalties based on what they see, not what they hear.
You can't see that either, but that was a flag based on what you hear.
So if you don't know, don't throw it.
Well, you got to err on the side of caution.
But they're being told by the league you have to protect the quarterbacks. Even last night, Romo, when Lamar got tackled out of bounds, he's like, you should have thrown a flag. You got to protect. You can't have the backup in. You know what? I'm just saying that's been the
mandate.
Mahomes would
have got that.
The problem is that you can't even go near it. The moment the guy slides, you just got to like give up.
Well, what about Aikman's point of these quarterbacks are taking advantage of becoming runners now?
Yeah.
Runners, scramblers.
That's part of it. I mean, like, you know,
so you,
want you the
can juke.
Yards? Yeah.
You can run, you can juke, and then, oh, I'm going to go down and then not come anywhere near. If you give yourself up as the defender, what if he doesn't go down? That's go another down.
Of course.
Troubling.
It's very troubling.
Tough we saw that, gray area.
Was it Kenny Pickett did that in the college game where he faked the slide and he kept
faked
running.
And then, yeah.
And so that's a problem. But, I mean, I have a much bigger problem with the first one than this.
Okay.
Because this to me, you know, the moment the guy starts to go down, you got to control your body.
Let's play the first one on Will Anderson.
Yeah, they run a twist up front. He has a clear shot, and there's the hit. It looked like it was helmet to helmet in real time, and it's close. He definitely comes in high. Hard to tell from that angle as to what, if it was in fact helmet to helmet, but that was the call and gives him a new set of downs.
Okay, so Troy Aikman, who I believe this year has separated himself even more as the best analyst, period. Troy has no idea in the moment, but Troy's going to go on all his shows this week and he's going to blast the National Football League because he's got the balls to go ahead and call out the referees when nobody else does. Troy's clueless in that moment right there. He's like, it's hard to tell. It looks like it's close. What do you want a ref to do? What do you want a ref to do? Stop with all the memos and the whining and the crying that it's baked in and fixed for Kansas City. Give the referees. I know we all hate officials. Warren Sharp, my God. I'm going to have to mute and block this guy. This guy thinks God put him on earth. But like, just be a ref, Warren. Just go ahead and be a referee. Put your analytics to the side. They can't get it. in real time like this, and the onus is protecting the quarterback.
Mahomes, Ginobili, throwing back his head. Oh, my gosh. I've been violently struck by Will Anderson. Mahomes is starting to sour on me big time. I've always liked him.
I thought you were going
to
talk about the flop on the sideline.
You got to be able to review him at the end of the day. Like, that's
the answer.
We tried the pass interference. They never overturned it. If they go back to this, they start reviewing it, and they never overturn these either, that's going to be a problem. But there are some that you just, like, it's hard. I mean, I understand. The referees need to, what do they never blow the play dead anymore, right? Like, that they've been told never blow the play dead.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do. Let the play continue. You then go back and review it. And on this, throw the flag. Be very liberal throwing the flag.
Yeah.
But then go back and review
it. Will Anderson, afterwards, he may get lit up by the National Football League.
We knew it was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just saying, like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better. And, you know, in some instances we didn't do that, in some instances we did.
Although it doesn't feel like the National Football League is like the NBA. When you question the officiating or the commissioner, you get lit up. David Stern rolling in his grave right now.
They'll pick their spots. They'll randomly hit a player with it, just kind of like, all right, remember who's in charge here. But it's not consistent.
So I know I'm going to be the only person, the only one giving the referees a break and taking this stance that it wasn't cheating, but I know I just gave an ironclad argument that you can't fight me on the fan.
That's true, and it has nothing to do with the fact that you were rooting for Kansas City, worked in Kansas City, and that your favorite college football team for 3 years was Texas Tech. You're right. That has nothing to do with any of this.
FAF. From Mahomes?
I don't think it was 3 years.
It wasn't 3 years. It was definitely
3 months.
It was definitely post-Patty.
It was 3 months.
Once Joey McGuire didn't take my bribe for my godson to go there, I bailed and went to Nashville. And then D'Amico Ryans. Very crafty post-game comment not to get fined.
Yeah, we knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody. Right? When I say everybody, is everybody. All of whatever. Everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody.
7 points missed with special teams. The 63-yard return, the 15-yarder tagged onto that. D'Amico then did eventually go into all the things that cost the Texans.
Yeah, and I mean, also what cost the Texans. Look, they, for the most part, I think, outplayed Kansas City. But if you're going to put a tight end blocking George Karloftis to pick up 3 sacks all game, you're also kind of asking for
it. Who was the tight end?
It was Dalton Schultz.
Those memes and jokes were flying, and they were hilarious. I guess that weight room, that non-distracted weight room wasn't enough for Schultz there against Karloftis.
I mean, that's Slowick probably, I would guess, but I don't know what the hell you're doing. I don't care who that is. Kittle, whatever tight end you want, you're not going to put them across from Karloftis for the game. That was dumb. That was dumb on their part. And
especially, you shouldn't be one-on-one. I mean, you should be helped.
A tight end is not supposed to be on an island pass blocking a defensive end, especially a defensive end who's pretty good at getting to the quarterback in Karloftis.
Okay, one of the only positives about the Cowboys not playing postseason football, your stress level, you don't have to see your cardiologist, and you get to laugh at everyone else. You know my motto, one of them, misery loves company, and let's laugh at the biggest suffering NFL fan in the building. He joins us in studio as the commercial-free expressway comes at you live next on Sean and RJ, and Bobby Belt went and did a lot of Kellen Moore homework. Will this change your mind about wanting the Whiz Kid as the Cowboys' next head coach? That and best and worst of the weekend on the way here with Sean and RJ.
The other direction. Gets it low. Labushkin score for Bork. That was pretty. And the Stars pedal down, had 3 early on.
More misery added to an all-time bad weekend for our boy Jake Rietma. You heard him during the Rangers caravan with Will Chambers. Weekends as well here on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And Jake is joining us in studio because I said I got to go ahead and get you in here to suffer after the Commanders took out his Detroit Lions. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and we have Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Before we get to all the misery, recap Arlington, because you were giddy. You were giddy.
Yeah, let's. I like that. Some positive vibes to begin because Sunday, that's going to be tough to talk about. But Saturday, what an experience. Rangers Fan Fest, so fun. Will Chambers and
The Lions lost on Saturday, didn't they?
That's a great point. Yeah, also
yeah, the Red Wings lost on Sunday.
That's when you have four big weekend games and you lose them all, you know, the days kind of get a little bit.
The Tigers missed out on Roki, so yeah. There you go.
53% on Money Puck, by the way.
Hey, for the Stars. Wow. They did it. It was a blowout, though.
Does that calculate just them skating circles around?
Don't ask him anything about hockey. Just go into baseball.
So, all right, FanFest, what a setup. Behind home plate, I kept saying, I now know what it feels like to be a Major League umpire. I mean, we were right there in the Lexus club level seats, right on the field where you had the Tolos walking around waving, saying hello. What an awesome guest list we had. Everybody from past players, Ian Kinsler. We had some current players on, Cody Bradford. We also had Kumar Rocker on, and then talking to Boach was awesome.
Yeah. And you were giddy with Kinsler because he was a Tiger as well. And you were waiting to meet your childhood hero.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I played baseball as a kid because of Pudge Rodriguez. I was a catcher. I wore number 7. Every single catcher's glove I had had the little laser autograph. I had to make sure it was from Pudge Rodriguez. And because, I mean, he resurrected the Detroit Tigers in a time where they're coming off a 100-win loss season in 2003. When he got there, it was the entire shift of the culture. And eventually they make the World Series in 2006. But I idolized Pudge Rodriguez as a kid.
And what did you do when he finally sat down?
They say don't meet your heroes. And if they don't show up to the interview, you can't meet your hero.
There you go. Oh, no.
Safety right there. You know why? Because Pudge is a Ranger. That's why.
He knew I was there. No, and
he's a Marlin second.
That's also a great point.
What were you gonna do if he sat down? We'll get you to meet Pudge. He's an awesome dude.
No, for sure, for sure. And Sandler was giving me such a hard time all throughout the day, like, oh yeah, you know, and are you gonna be able to sit down and be able to handle
it? I love how Jared wants to make fun of you. Meanwhile, he goes to London, one of those soccer teams. That's how he is. You know, Tottenham something? I don't know. He's wearing his little windbreakers in his pubs that you have to wear the team gear in order to get in. So don't let him make fun of you.
I mean, it was a rerun of 2011 where I was Sandler's intern getting him coffee and everything. Well, so
he couldn't reach the coffee machine?
Was he a jerk?
No.
No?
So here's my Sandler internship story. My big end of the internship project was Lions training camp. And I was a kid. I was 19 years old. And he said, go interview somebody. And I'm looking around. Oh, who do I interview? I find the backup quarterback for the Detroit Lions at the time, Kellen Moore.
Oh. Was he cool?
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, it was the first pro player I ever interviewed.
Is Jerry paying you to say that? Like, apparently everybody on Twitter says any Kellen Moore supporter is.
So I was thinking about, I wasn't going to go out and watch the games. I had the in-laws over. I was thinking about hitting up some of the fellas to have y'all come over and watch it. But then I was like, you know, this is your team. So I know that Will went to a restaurant and he was not with you. So did you have your own little setup for the Lions playoff game?
I did. And I told
you have to watch it solo, like you couldn't go out to a regular bar.
I would say regular season I'd be fine at a bar, but I wanted to be so dialed in and I wanted to be ready for post game action with Locked On Lions and be ready to do, you know, have an analysis, have an opinion, that sort of thing. And
so not be drunk.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm getting at, which you saw last weekend. You know, so it can get a little blurry quickly. But I also thought the magnitude of the game and the Saturday night game too late. Like I was on Sunday morning with CA for 5 hours. So nothing like after one of the darkest days in your sports fandom, talking about it for 5 hours.
So where does this one rank? Like the devastation of it, the heartbreak. In Lions history.
Oh, Lions history. It's so bizarre. And I think whoever coined the stages of grief did so after watching their team as a number one seed lose a home playoff game. Because that's honestly, it checks out. There's anger, a little bit of denial, a little bit of bargaining, some depression. I'll get to acceptance, not quite there.
Yeah.
But I think it's more anger for me and the bargaining part of it, because there's plenty of Lions. Like I remember the 0-16 season just fine. Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone. And that part was more apathy, double palms up, like this team sucks. And this was so different. Last year even was more heartbreak because you were so close. This year was just what the heck happened?
Who are you blaming?
Oh, I'm going to put my X's and O's hat on. The game, the dynamics of the game changed so much early. Lions are up 7-3. They're in plus territory. They're on the 17-yard line, I believe, and it's 3rd and 1. Jahmyr Gibbs is averaging better than 8 yards a carry at this point. Just give him the ball. And that was, and
a lot of people are like, David Montgomery shouldn't even have started that game. Correct. Give him the first touchdown. Yeah. That was a sentimental handoff.
So
bad.
The first touchdown they had. So I had bet first touchdown scores, right? $5 would have won me $67,000 if all hit. And in the first game, I got it, right? I hit it on the first game in the Kansas City game. And in the second game, I needed David Montgomery. He got the first carry, and then they took him out at the goal line. They never take David Montgomery out at the 1 yard line. I would have cashed out. I would have had halfway.
Oh my God.
I would have cashed out. Who knows? Who knows what they would have offered?
Yeah, the way Ben Johnson called that game to me, it was disappointing in the sense, because I said this immediately after the game, I'm not going to do Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson were distracted. They didn't prepare for their professionals. It's the National Football League. But I did feel like Ben Johnson called that game like he was trying to put together a highlight reel instead of calling the game to win the game. And I think you even alluded to it with Cliff. Like, it worked for Cliff. I mean, he put out...
Yeah, but all the things worked. Jake Reedman in studio after the Lions' devastation. Didn't everything work except for the killer pick?
The
Jameson Williams
is compromising, yes. But the 3rd and 1.
Yeah, if you're up 14-3, the whole game changes.
The whole game. Ford Field becomes alive because my brother was at the game. He said it was a palpable, nervous energy from then on. And that's early. And some of that might relate to the Lions having not gotten over that hump before. And Jared Goff, and he turns the ball over a little bit too much and that sort of thing. But at that point, you hand the ball off to Jahmyr Gibbs. You're averaging better than 8 yards a carry. You have a healthy offensive line that's playing well. I mean, you look at some of those runs in the first quarter. There's no contact being made with Jahmyr Gibbs until he's 8 yards down the field. Not to mention the Commanders came in ranked 30th in run defense. It was your strength against their weakness. Yeah. Why are you going 5 wide on 3rd and 1?
It made no sense. And then, like, I mean, there was the 12-minute on the field penalty. There was obviously the interceptions that happened. But that play right there, it made absolutely no sense to run anything but a run there. You have the best offensive line in football. You got to use it.
They're not calling for Campbell at all, right?
No, and I've tried to stay off Lions Twitter because it's toxic and I get upset. But there's a saying in Detroit, it was SOL, same old Lions, and you've invented ways to lose, and that was the case for 30 years of my life. I mean, you go back, they quite literally invented ways to lose, and it felt like that had been eradicated, and I hadn't seen SOL for 2 years, and I started seeing some of it last night. But what ticked me off, and I'm probably too far on the other side as a Jared Goff apologist, but people turned on Jared Goff quickly. I was seeing more turning on Jared Goff than on Campbell, and I understand the four turnovers, one of them with Jameson Williams.
And there's 5 turnovers, I think.
5 total, one of them being JMO. So, but the point being, they scored 31 points. 31 points wins a lot of divisional games in the playoffs. You can't give up 45 points. Was Goff good? No, absolutely not. Was he are they there without him? Absolutely not. So I think turning on Goff is very reactionary. Without Josh Allen, without Lamar Jackson, you could throw Saquon in there, but he's a legitimate, and he played at a legitimate MVP caliber in the regular season.
But I think
season.
This is a game, you know, a lot of times when the favorite falls like this, or the one seed, we're like, how'd you give it away? I don't think anyone has that feeling. Like, the Commanders absolutely deserve this.
They did. I mean, they played
this
well.
This was no like, oh my gosh, you did this and you did that. Like, they were there tit for tat the entire game, yeah, matching.
They were.
And
they,
playing better.
You could, yeah, absolutely. You couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop them at all the
they
entire game.
They comprised a recipe to win on the road. And that's what ticked me off the most, is the blueprint to win on the road was sustained long drives, absorb the punches early, force some turnovers, and it was like check, 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 and before you know it, they're up 2 possessions late in the second half, and the Lions are pressing, yep, and playing from behind. And to your point, the SOL moment was the 12 men on the field. The biggest play of the season, 4th and short.
That was what Brady was screaming about.
Yeah, he was screaming about it, and it's like, you know, if it's 4th and 2, 4th and 2.5, you get that stop, they were only down 3.
You're in
the fourth quarter, you're down 3. I bet you if they get that ball back, that their win probability is over 50%.
What was Jared Goff's touchdown to interception ratio versus playoff teams this year?
Well, he had 5 against Houston.
So what do you think it was?
Probably pretty low.
16 touchdowns to 17 picks against playoff teams.
And I bet that's all the picks he threw because he didn't throw that many.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 17 is a lot.
No. Outside of that, like,
he didn't throw any against non-playoff teams. He had no interceptions against non-playoff.
He does not play well. He threw at least 10 that I know of off of his zone this year.
Right. So you could probably track that down to the 5 against the Texans, 3 against Minnesota, and then is that including the Commanders game?
That's 2 against Minnesota. That's now the 3 against the Commanders. Like, you go down the list. He also had 2 against Tampa Bay. He had 1 against the Packers. Like, it was every pick he threw.
And he doesn't throw a lot of picks. Like, he's generally didn't he set the came close to the record last year.
Jake Rietma in studio after the Commanders take out the Lions here on 105.3 The Fan, commercial free expressway. So be the Cowboys front office now and assess Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn or the rest of the teams throughout the league after this game, putting everything together.
Right, and I think what Schefter said about Ben Johnson is put them together, you get the best of both. About Ben Johnson is telling that he has everything made up in his mind of what he wants, and I just don't think that plays here. So how much time are you spending?
And what do you think that is? For those that missed it, Schefter saying Ben Johnson not interested, and the Cowboys probably not interested in him.
I think it's total control. I think it's the ability to bring in the guys you want and again, create this system that he believes he'll thrive in. Whereas Aaron Glenn, conversely, I think has made, and this whole season was proof of that, that he is making chicken salad out of nothing. You know, he's finding a way with all the guys on injured reserve to have a productive defense. And yes, it was the ultimate undoing of the Lions, but what he continued to overcome, the leader of men, the NFL experience, I think that plays more.
Who would you hire first?
It was Ben Johnson until the playoffs. No, I still think it's a quarterback-driven league. It's an offensive league, and Ben Johnson has, by all indications, done enough to be that next guy in waiting, the Sean McVay,
what
whatever
What type
it is.
Of guy is he? What do you know about him personally?
I know personally that, first and foremost, his kids go to gymnastics with my buddy's kids.
Whoa!
Bella Caroli over here. Bella Caroli.
Great guy. But I think he
Peyton, who's Bella Caroli?
Ooh, it's a great name.
No, Freddie
Bobby,
Mercury.
Do you even know?
Yeah, Bella Caroli's the Romanian gymnast trainer.
He didn't even know Freddie Mercury. I should ask Jake.
I always love when you guys quiz Peyton because half the time I'm like, do I know this one?
He carried Kerry Strug off.
Good job.
Yeah, he did.
But that being said, I think it's the biggest question mark is leader of men. That's the buzzword. And he hasn't been in a situation where you have a sample size to know if that works. So my guess is as good as yours. But I do think learning under a guy that is so culture driven like Dan Campbell has to have some kind of, you know, inevitable effect and rub off on Ben Johnson. Now, you got to be your own guy. You can't go out there and say, this is what Dan Campbell did, so this is what I'm going to do. But how that plays out remains to be seen. But I think he's been in an environment where he's seen what's worked, and can he use that at his stop? I think so.
So when did you just open up the bottle and punish yourself?
I couldn't. I had a Sunday morning show. Yeah. That's what CA said. He said, I can't believe
you're
here.
Did you tell
here.
The girlfriend, like, does she know, like, don't talk to me for
she's
10 hours?
She's 100 times worse than me. And I hope she's listening, because the 49ers lose, I can't talk to her. I can't have, even the Monday night game when I was there, and that Monday night game, Lions 49ers, meant nothing. It was a preseason game, and there was still tension between the two of us.
Yeah, give us a Stars recap.
Oh, gosh.
I already gave it to you.
If y'all love hockey, follow Jake Rietma social media. Maybe the most hockey knowledge of the non-bosses in the building. Recap yesterday made your weekend even worse.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to have something to hang my hat on with one. But that being said, I love what the Stars are doing there. And Pete DeBoer talks about this all the time, is you can't let a losing streak build. And that was a 2-game losing streak, second night of a back-to-back with travel involved. And they set the tone in the first period. I mean, they are skating circles around Detroit in that first period. Special teams got going with the power play goal with Robertson. I thought that was big. And all of a sudden, you know, momentum in sports, in any sport, but you start to see the puck go in the net. You're up 3-0 after one period of play. They win out. They had kind of their back against the wall a little bit, in the sense of two-game losing streak, second night of a back-to-back, and they set the tone in the first period. Ottinger was really good as well, 33 saves. And you know, I think some of that is a testament to the lack of really real chances the Red Wings were generating. But at the same time, he was solid in net. Power play was solid in the first period. You're up 3-0 after one, and you cruise to a win.
Can you bring yourself to root for the Commanders over the Eagles?
Easily, yeah. I can't stand...
There's nothing to hate about the Commanders yet.
Right.
That's, oh, no. The Commanders were rubbing it in Lions fans' faces they over were. The week because they were going, oh, Ben, this is the job you told us to turn around? You told us to turn around?
Oh, yeah. That's right. The plane turned around, literally.
I did see some social media videos, and I try not to put too much stock into that, but they were dancing on our grave a little bit, which they deserved it. They earned it. I think if you're... There's a right or wrong way to do it, but if you're the road team and you convincingly win by multiple possessions and leave no doubt, have your time in the sun.
So the last time you felt this sick was what?
Last year. It was so different though.
This is worse.
This makes last year sting more.
But is last year's worse because you're in a house with a 49ers fan?
That was the worst ride home of all time.
last year's is worse because you're 17 up in the conference championship game. Like you're in the Super Bowl.
And you are
17 up. Was it
17 at halftime? Second half? I'm walking around halftime. That stadium thinking I'm going to tell my future kids.
Oh, you were at that game?
I was at that game with Sydney's family, who are all 49ers fans. Worst car ride home of my life. And I'm thinking I'm going to tell my future kids. I was there.
Is that
when
the where you're
going to
have the future kids on the car ride home? All right, so last year was worse.
Last year was worse, and this year was more the stages of grief, which this is more anger. This is more bargaining. Well, if we would have done this, this would have happened. Where last year was the true depression.
Are you totally sold on Jaden?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I said this from the beginning. I was never a Caleb Williams guy. I'm too football guy wired to think that my quarterback can paint his nails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, Jake. No. Hey, it's inauguration day. All right, Jake. Let's go.
All right, Jake. Go to the studio. We'll say you have a pudge. Jake Rietma right here on 105.
He said Ben Johnson's really into gymnastics, right?
Peyton hit it.
His kid plays.
Ladies, get out of here.
The weekend.
I'm having a fantastic weekend.
All right, let's recap everything. Best and worst of the weekend here during the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. I would like to start with something that infuriated me over the weekend when I woke up Saturday morning. Is Carter in? Is no one else working the fan cam?
It's not 8 o'clock yet, so he gets in at 8 o'clock.
Oh, gets in at 8 o'clock. All right, so we're not going to have a picture on the fan cam. But what you did on television was so disgraceful and so ridiculous as Bobby Belt went into the studios of Fox 4.
Yeah, I went. Jeff Colbert hit me up and said, hey, you want to come in and talk Cowboys coaching search? I was like, sure. So I drove to the Fox 4 studios and went and sat down, and I didn't see a problem with anything. I walked in there wearing a Keller softball hat. And a black zip up, kind of like this one, and I zipped it up to cover my Kelly Kapowski shirt. So I think I did the mature thing and covered up the graphic T-shirt that I had on. What was your issue with it?
For you to go and sit in that television studio wearing a hat is so disgraceful. I was so pissed off looking at this photo. I felt for your wife. I felt for your children, and I said, you know, if you're going to do that, just shave your damn head. Enough is enough.
That's too much work.
Just shave it if you're too worried about it. Like we all wear hats. We all dress like bums here on the Fan Cam, Twitch, YouTube. If someone wants to do an NBC5 Zoom, okay. And Bobby's like, what are you talking about? You're like the third person to tell me this. And I said, ask Jeff Kolb, ask Nui Scruggs, ask Pat Doney how many people have ever come in studio while they're wearing their suit and worn a ball cap.
The answer
would probably be zero.
Get a fedora,
so
get a cowboy hat.
Such a slob to go ahead and do that. I can't believe Amanda was beside herself. She's like, I'm going to text Kristen and ask how she let you leave the house.
She
like
didn't
that.
See me leave the house.
Exactly. I knew it.
Yeah, she saw me when I got home and she was like,
because she would have said you can't wear blue with black.
She was like, were you dressed like that? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, why? And she's like, you were on TV. Why did you wear it? And I was like, what's the big deal? And when I said I was going to be on Fox 4, the first reply I got on my tweet was David Hellman. And he said, are you going to dress like an adult for this?
Yeah.
And so then I sent back a picture and he was like, yeah, makes it. Hellman had come up to me during
They shouldn't even invite you on. Like, Pat, and I don't care what Cowboy News, I don't care what he breaks. You can't. You can't do that to your studios. It's disgraceful. Yeah.
You got to wear a fedora, cowboy hat. You can do that. That's fine.
I mean, here's the thing.
They would not make you take off those two hats at a steakhouse, right? You go to a fancy steakhouse, you wear a cowboy hat, you wear a fedora, they're not making you take it off. A ball cap, I mean, they don't sell hot dogs here.
Just put up the picture of him sitting next to Jeff Kolb on television. And just, you can't unsee it.
Jeff was dressed really great. He had a nice like navy suit on. He looked great.
When did your phone start lighting up?
So when I posted a picture of the hat, or like when like the actual thing broadcast, I got people asking me in advance what did I wear, because that's the top line item to them when they find out I'm going to be on TV, because I think they're curious, did you look ridiculous or not? And so a lot of people, I got texts immediately when they just found out I was going to be on TV and they want to know what I wore. And then it was after I was on TV, I got texts. And I woke up to your very disappointed text messages on Saturday morning.
I was beside myself. I really was.
I'm supporting Keller. This is community driven.
I don't care. That's your excuse.
This is trying to be in the community and support DFW.
You got their equipment stolen.
It was a Detroit hat. You were just giving me 20 minutes.
Represent your family for once. Represent your last name. You got their stuff stolen. You didn't do anything.
Oh, sorry. I bring so much heat that the cartel came around him in Midland. That's not my fault.
I got to give a shout out, a special happy birthday shout out to Mooney the Mayor.
Mooney!
Our top Tolo in terms of minutes listened in 2024. It's big number 52. So okay. Shout out, Mooney. You are appreciated.
Appreciated.
Best and worst, Ralph?
Let's see. I don't know what to start with. Best or worst. The best, you know, we did go looking. We're not really house hunting, but we're kind of house hunting. We went to this open house over the weekend. And
what area?
It was a trophy club. It was great. It's fantastic. And then I realized that this is the crappy thing about houses right now. They're like, yeah, this thing's probably gonna go this weekend. And I'm like, yeah, we haven't even put our house for sale. We have no.
I thought you were gonna say it's falling apart like mine.
No. Oh. This was an older home. It's probably 30 years old-ish. Completely gutted and redone. Looks amazing. Storage for days. That's what we need more storage. We have no storage because we're pack rats. We're not throwing anything away. But it's going to take 2-3 months to sell our house. We can't buy anything right now. And that's the crappy thing about it. This thing already went. It's already gone.
Wow.
They had an open house. Went on the market Friday. It's already gone. That's the market. That's the housing market in DFW.
You gotta be ready to sign that day.
We have to sell our house, move into a hotel, and then go look. That's what you have to do. Bobby, you're in a more advantageous position. You can just get out of here. You just wait till your lease is up, go month to month, and then go.
You know, Spittle said in a meeting with us a couple weeks ago when he was complaining about some of the stuff with this house, he was like, the more I deal with stuff, the more I start thinking maybe Bobby's setup isn't the worst thing in the world, that it's there. I will say, you said you're shopping in Trophy Club,
mm-hmm.
because I did notice the Instagram story where you were once again in my hood, and I didn't hear nothing.
Where?
You were over at Marty B's. I saw you were
that's
in Marty.
Not your hood.
That is. That's my. That,
that's
that
20 minutes
no,
from you.
No, it is not. It is 10, and it's considered the general area. And we've had the Marty B's discussion before.
I don't think of that. It was the very last minute. We were hungry. We needed something to eat. Went up there. Then
never get the text.
I mean, that's okay. You don't text me, so it's okay.
I texted you back that dance recital song that you did not thank me for, by the way. No, you did not. I did not get a reply back from you.
Oh, I said thank you by head. I sent it over immediately. I thought I sent a response.
It counts.
My bad.
He had me do weekend audio editing for his niece. I was helping out. He didn't even say thank you when I sent him the audio clip back.
Choppy. I thought I did. We do this all the time. Like Sarah and I do this all the time. We're like, we say something to each other, but we say in our heads. Then we wonder like 3 days later, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? And we never asked. It's just in our head. That's the world I live in. The worst though, you know, so Julian's playing basketball, and I don't know how to tell him to be a ball hog. I told him flat out, look, the whole family doesn't show up to watch you dish it off to some chuck. Okay? No one shows up for you to get the ball across the timeline and then find somebody. I don't care.
I don't care about assists.
And you want me to care about assists? Get to the college basketball level.
Does he have like a gift for passing?
Got great handles, great gift for passing. He can shoot though. He doesn't shoot. He's like, I just want to get assists.
Does he do it like J-Will passes?
Like white chocolate?
Yeah.
Not
the other Jason Williams. Know, you don't want him shooting.
No, but like he sits there in the house. I mean, he's like, he's like trying to be like Kyrie. But the first thing he wants to do is he wants to look for somebody else. And I was like, well, I'm not coming here to watch some kid whose name I can't pronounce.
Abdul Raouf shots fired.
No. Because they always throw these, the parents, they're throwing a random Y in the middle of their name. And I'm like, how do I use that Y? But I use that as an I or an E. All right. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that.
So do you think he's going to start shooting more?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
You got to, who does he, you always tell us all these wild things that he says. So who does he idolize anybody like really? Like, could you say like Johnny Sins would shoot the ball or anything like that?
I mean, honestly, I think he probably does know who Johnny Sins is. Knowing this kid, I think he probably does. But
Pepe, best and worst of the week. What are you taking photos of?
Oh, just Bobby reading up on some Martin Luther King stuff on his screen. I see, Bobby.
Well, it's Martin Luther King Day.
I'm just wondering what he's reading
up on.
Why
are you taking photos of it?
It looked funny on camera.
That is where it's literally just my Twitter timeline is open.
That's weird, just wondering what he's
I think it's
up
more
on.
Telling that Peyton is like taking photos of that being like something's wrong with that.
Yeah. I think he was taking a picture so he could Google who is that?
What?
And start calling him Carter.
Best and worst. So we'll start with the best for me. Guys.
I got it. All right, let's move on.
Who's Martin Luther King, Peyton?
Let's go. Come on.
Boy, there's no chance of that one, right?
Stop. Let's go.
You'll be proud of me, guys. I turned down a trip to the casino with the friends. They hit me up this week, and they said, hey, let's go Saturday.
You just went.
I know, exactly. That was my point. That was my excuse. I said, back-to-back weekends, that's when you got to throw the A word at me, you know, the addiction word, you know, because if I go back-to-back weekends, that's a problem.
Would Mackenzie have cared?
Oh, she would have been mad. I asked her.
One time when she would have had a problem with something. Otherwise, she's cool with everything, it seems.
Because she had like, we didn't really have plans at the time, but she was like, hey, we're trying to get, you know, another couple that I know of, that we know of, to go look.
Oh, Bobby
bar.
And Kristen.
Yeah. And so she was like, we kind of already had plans, so I really would have been upset if you went. So I'm glad I, you know, turned that down. They still went, though. My friends still went. Because that's a game we play with me and my friends. It's like, they'll go. Everyone will say in the group message, hey, you know, let's go up there. And it's not, you know, no one really buys it until someone actually makes the move and goes up there. And like, hey, you know, we're actually going up there. You want to go? I said no. So
why are we proud of you? Because this to me sounds like the first instance of you being whipped is what this sounds like.
No, because there's been plenty of times where they've gone and I said, Mackenzie, I'm going up there. You know, deal with it, basically.
And you said this is the first time she would have been mad.
All right, Bobby, shut up.
Wow, he turned the mic off.
So instead, Mackenzie and I, we went to a local bar with another couple Saturday night. And this place had everything. This bar had karaoke, a dance floor. It had, you know, billiards on one side, arcade games on the other. But the big thing, so I go through these phases whenever I, you know, go through this phase of drinking where I pick one drink and I stick to it. Vodka Red Bull is what I'm into right now. Ranch Waters, you
nothing
know, a couple
like
years ago.
Mixing it up or in a downer.
Yeah,
love
exactly.
It.
Sometimes I'm into the Whiskey Coke, but Vodka Red Bulls, this vodka, I didn't even ask the price for this. I didn't get my price till I got the receipt, but these Vodka Red Bulls were only like $5.50 a piece. I was like, oh, sign me up for that. So I got a few of those. But yeah, that was my best there. Great night out in Rockwall, local bar. I was very happy not to have to drive 45 minutes to a bar with friends because they all live on the other side of town. But my worst is I'm back on my gambling addiction because I suggested Vegas in a few months with the friends and they said no.
They said Los Hombres? Wow.
Yes, because...
Because you didn't FaceTime him and ask?
No, I texted. They were like, no, dude, you got a face-to-face conversation here. No, because prices right now for flights out there are like in the mid-300s. That doesn't get them going. They got to have prices below 200. To get a flight out there.
Now,
what year are they in? Like, prices like 300 is fine.
No, man, they got a flight there on American. Now, maybe they use some of their miles and stuff, but they got a flight in New Year's Day for like 150 out there.
Would this have been all fellas?
Yeah, this would have just been guys.
And Mackenzie cool with that?
Oh, yeah. She's, well, now that we're in wedding planning mode and, like, you know, spending money, she's not really okay with it. But it's like, she knows guys' trips happen once a year with us, so she's fine with it.
So you were going to go to Vegas with the fellas?
I was, yeah. No, we could still go. This wasn't like a no for sure, but it was a no within the next few months. So we're now looking, you know, maybe over the summer or into the fall or some trip.
A little disappointed in the not going to the casino. It's not an addiction if you're winning.
That's yeah. what I say. And I told you guys I'm up. I've been up.
Yeah, that's not an addiction.
No, I said
it's an investment.
It's a profit. It's making money.
No,
it's a job.
That just sounds like you're letting the control slowly slip away from you is what it sounds like. Now, on the mid-300s on the flight, are you saying that's what they were paying round trip $150 for flights to Vegas, or you're saying one way it's mid-300s?
Yeah, because these guys, I mean, they'll be looking at flights every other day, you know, trying to find the best deal, and they'll buy it as soon as it starts dropping.
Yeah, you can find those, like, especially spur-of-the-moment ones.
A round trip mid-$300 flight to Vegas does not sound that bad to me.
Yeah, it was like $365, $370 now.
Best and worst of the weekend. And, Bob, your best was being responsible with fun. You reminded me I need to do mine. I totally forgot.
Well, I was more in a panic about my taxes because I didn't know. The last couple years, ever since I joined the fan, things I haven't staggered them correctly in terms of how to figure out how much FICA to take out. And so I got my W-2s from three different places all on the same day in the mail. And so I'm still waiting on like one more document, but I went ahead and I went to TurboTax and I started putting in the information. I'm like, this is probably not going to be good. I was anticipating I was going to owe, not too bad, but owe like $700. Doesn't look like it. Looks like I'm going to get back about $2,000.
Oh!
Which is great, but I, like Choppy, still owe from a previous just hold down and you know, try to destroy your finances set up with the IRS where I'd owed like, I don't remember, it was like $9,500 a couple of years ago or something like that. So I still owe like $5,000-$6,000 on that. So that $2,000, I'm guessing, will just apply to the balance of what I owe the IRS. Do you get, while you're still paying things off, do you get your return back or does it apply to your balance when you get a return?
It applies to your balance. You don't get the money back. That's I'm still fighting with them because I haven't gotten my 21 or 22 return. But they haven't sent my money. They haven't sent the money. They sent the 23 money. They haven't sent the 22 money. And I've been on the phone with them. They're like, we don't know where it is. It says that you get one, and they just haven't sent any money.
My best and worst of the weekend, I finally, after like 3 years, tried out my Uni oven.
I saw that.
And my buddy Brian gave me it's a pizza oven. Love it. A big fan of it. Went 1 for 2 in terms of the creations. My worst is the mystery leak in my home that nobody could solve.
And?
Turned out to be a pipe that wasn't tight enough. And it was slowly leaking under my wife's sink, running down and soaking up the floor and the rug underneath our bedroom.
So it was... So it was like, was the inside damaged, like the cabinet?
A little bit wet. They came, jackhammered out the total bottom of our bathroom, took all my wife's stuff out of our closet, cut the drywall in my garage.
How did you notice it?
Because
did
we're
you
walking
step in like
the
a wet spot.
Yeah, we're walking to the bathroom. The rug before the hardwood or the hard part of the floor of the bathroom, and it's just damp. Ugh. And I like go through 10 towels trying to dry this up. It's not drying. I like cross-examine Oliver, put him under the spotlight. What'd you spill? What freaking Capri Sun? I hate those Capri Suns. It's way too difficult to get the straw in. And then, you know, I always say, drink before squeezing. Don't squeeze. You squeeze, it's going to gush out. What did you spill? It wasn't Ollie. It was the bathroom sink. Mm. Best and worst of the weekend. Let us know what you got into. And thank you for checking in. Look at the numbers on the YouTube fan cam and Twitch here on DFW Sports Station. All right. Of all the Cowboy coaching candidates that they just waited so long to want to interview, how did this weekend affect the possible hirings? We got Kingsbury. We got Kellen Moore. And we got the two guys in Detroit. How does that affect your Cowboy coaching hire next?